Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 7, and we're at the tail end of chapter 7. We're going to pick up this evening with verse 35. And remember, what we've read prior to that was the portion that was going to be the inheritance from the sacrifices for Aaron and his sons. And we just read about the breast and how that was waved before the Lord, and that was going to be what their portion was. And in verse 35, "This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons, out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel, and the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations."
Something to remember here, and we're going to see this in just a minute, but we talked about how God has instructed Moses in all the protocol of all the sacrifices and all that, and then Moses is to convey all this and carry out certain things as far as his part goes. Remember when he's on the Mount Sinai, 40 days, 40 nights? This is when he got this. And so if you want to know what was going on, there's a whole lot that God had to convey to him. And the whole institution of the law of Moses was given to him while he was on Mount Sinai. And so God is telling him all these things that he's to do and how he's to anoint. And we're going to talk about that a little later on. Aaron, as obviously as the high priest, and his sons as the priest. And then this will be perpetual. The priest will always be descendants of Aaron. Not just descendants of Levi, not even just descendants of Kohath, but descendants of Aaron himself. And all these things are being spoken to Moses while he's on Mount Sinai. And every generation is to follow this. That means that one generation has to teach another generation. And that's what we fail to do today. A generation has failed to teach another generation.
So we look at these last two verses in the chapters, what Pete was talking about, this summary of the offerings. "This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai, in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai."
So all these previous instructions that we've been going through, looking at, with all these various offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, sin offering, trespass offering, consecration, peace offering, was all given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And at this time, the Lord commanded the descendants of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord. This is while they're still in the wilderness of Sinai. You understand, they've come out of Egypt. They've finally got to this point. And then Moses has been up on the mount twice, 40 days and 40 nights. And he gets these instructions, and then he comes down and has to teach these instructions to the Israelites, and also with all the offerings, the protocol of the offerings to Aaron and his sons as priests. So they camped in the wilderness of Sinai at the time.
And as we move into chapter 8, this tells us about the consecration of Aaron and his sons and the consecration of the tabernacle and all that was in it.
Now, we've had the instruction. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to see the instructions followed through with, okay?
And in chapter 8, And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
So he has specifics. Moses has to do this just exactly like God said. Take Aaron, Aaron's sons, the garments that they're going to be wearing as priests, the anointing oil, which is the special ingredient oil, the young bull for a sin offering, two rams, a basket of unleavened bread. He said, take it to the tabernacle. Assemble all the congregation of Israel at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so Moses has done, did as the Lord commanded him to do. And so the congregation, the Israelites, are gathered in front of this tabernacle, which is now set up. It's in place. But Aaron and his sons cannot sacrifice to the Lord yet. They have to be set apart. And a lot of people miss this. When God deals with a person's heart, and we generally say God calls a person into ministry or something like that, the call of God doesn't mean you immediately go into the ministry. The call of God, there's an invitation to come to God, to learn of God, be equipped by God. And then there is that consecration to God. And there's a proving of yourselves. There's a setting apart to God. And so in this particular case, it's a ceremonial thing. In a lot of cases where ministers in an organization, they are ordained, which is just the word actually means appointed. And so they're appointed to or a ordained to minister. And so Moses has taken Aaron and his sons through this consecration. The furniture, the tabernacle, everything has to be consecrated, and I can use these words interchangeably, set apart, sanctified, dedicated. All these mean the same thing. These things are being set apart for God's use, exclusively for God's use. Okay? And not to jump ahead of myself too far, but not everything is set apart to do the same thing. Each piece of furniture has its own exclusive role to play. The high priest is a different role than the priest. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's not that we can say, well, this one is the important one, this one is lesser important. That's where we miss it in ministry. We're trying to categorize, and we want to put these titles. I think one of the worst things that's ever happened to the body of Christ is putting titles on people, because then it gets competition, it gets jealousy, all this type stuff. If you know who you are, why do you need a title? To me, the titles, people that have to have a title in front of their name, there's an insecurity there. And get established in what God's called you to do, and just do what God's called you to do and operate in your function. Aaron's to be the high priest. One high priest. God chose him, not Moses. God chose Moses. Moses did not volunteer. Moses resisted. He didn't want to do that. You follow me? And so we have to keep these things in mind. And then there's that preparation period before we're actually ready to do legitimate service for the Lord. Okay?
Very good.
You want to? Okay, we'll go on with this.
We'll go on and then we'll come back. So, verse 5. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done.
So, when he gathers all the congregation together, Moses tells them what he's going to do, and he tells them that the reason he's going to do it is because he's been commanded by God to do it. And people don't understand a lot of things about ministry. It's when God commands you to do something, you do what God says, whether the people understand it or not, or whether the people agree with it or not. That's irrelevant. You have to follow through with the mandate of God.
And so I appreciate Moses, the Word of God's telling us that Moses is speaking according to the command of God, of the Lord. There could have been a lot of talk here because you understand Aaron was his brother. There's talk like that goes on today still. Well, did you see what he's, what, you know, what positions he's in or what she's doing? Well, da 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 da. Did you know this? Did you, you know, stuff like that goes on without taking in consideration as we were just talking about. This was by the command of God himself. And so with that, moving on in this next verse, verse 6, and Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon them the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him and girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head. Also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses.
So Moses, in obedience to the Lord, he brings Aaron and his sons. The first thing that has to happen to them is they have to be washed. They have to be clean. God has to get you clean. You understand? If he's going to use you, you need to be washed. You need to be clean. And you know, Ephesians 5:26, with the washing of the water of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Word of God will clean us up. You know, the blood of Jesus obviously cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So this has significance. A natural thing is pointing to something in the New Covenant, how Jesus is going to fulfill this, all right? This is the high priest. Who's the high priest today?
Jesus.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he clean? Of course he is. Do you understand? But as a substitute for humanity, he had to go through certain protocol, even though there was nothing wrong with him, so he could identify. And so they washed, and then he washes Aaron, and then he puts the high priestly garments on Aaron, the tunic, the belt that secures the tunic and the robe, the ephod, the rope and belt of the ephod on him, and he fastens all this clothing to him just as God had ordained. See, there was instructions how you put the clothes on and how they're to be worn. Then he put the chest vesture on him and placed the Urim and Thummim in it. And he put the bonnet, the headdress, the turban, the tiara, however you want to say it. This is placed on his head and it actually serves as a holy crown. And it has on it holiness to the Lord. And so Moses did everything according to God's command. Now, you know, there's so much I don't know about this, but they're just little glimpses that we get with how the natural man Aaron could not approach God in his natural attire. All this attire is pointing to being clothed in the righteousness that can only come with Jesus. being clothed in Jesus. He had to have his head covered, you understand? Every part of him covered, because he's representing the Lord. And so he can't go into the presence of God without being covered. You can't get into the presence of God aside from Jesus. You understand? We're clothed with righteousness. And that's what this does. This clothing put him in right standing with God by the law, by the commands that God had given Moses. And so there's a lot to say here. I'm trying to figure out when we're going to just start camping down on it.
Well, if we may, I want to talk about the washing of the water.
Go ahead.
Because this is amazing to me how this points to the new covenant. And it would be real easy just to read over it. But we too are washed with the water of the Word. When we're washed with that water of the Word, that puts many of us in a position wanting to repent. We repent, we receive Jesus, we're baptized into the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, and then we're clothed, as Pete was saying. That puts us in the position to stand before Father God. And I know I've mentioned this to you before, but I go boldly before Father God with the full assurance that I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which enables me to stand before the Lord. But not just that, the Lord just doesn't clothe us here. He also provides an armor for us. And when you look at the two, if you've ever looked at the description of the armor and this description, it's really quite interesting. We too are given a breastplate, aren't we? We've got ourselves girded, our loins girded. We've got the belt on that we need. We've got our helmet of salvation, don't we? Our feet shod. Yeah, all of that. Do you see the parallel in this? One of the things that we were talking about this afternoon is that the Lord, God was so deliberate with his instruction, right down to every detail that needed to happen, to the specific ingredients of the anointing oil, to the specific clothes that Aaron was to wear, how the garments need to be prepared. Bell pomegranate. You remember, all very specific. Use this thread, this color. This is how it's supposed to look. So this was very deliberate. And to me, it's absolutely amazing how this word is pointing to what we experience as a new covenant believer. This wasn't just specific, this anointing that Aaron received. We too receive an anointing, and we'll talk about that. But let's not just read over this. Let's take a minute to pause and consider this, the magnitude of this word and how it relates to us.
Well, while you're there, might as well just talk about some other things as well, okay?
Okay.
Titus, I believe it's 3:5, talks about the washing, the being saved by the washing of regeneration.
Mm.
And she mentioned, you know, Ephesians 5:26, washing of the water of the Word. And talking about the clothing. A thing that interests me is this is pointing to as far as what puts you in right standing with God and how you're to be separated. See, this separated Aaron from the entire nation. This attire separated him. It identified him as that minister of God, as that representative of God. And then the thing that he has on his breast vesture here, the breastplate, is the Urim and Thummim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've ever studied the Urim and Thummim, you find that about all you get is opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about it, other than that through whatever happened with Urim and Thummim, you got the will of God. You got the wisdom of God and how to operate. Now, it's interesting to me where that is. It's on his chest. Mm-hmm. And what it's doing is enlightening whoever's seeking the counsel of God. You find that David would go before and seek the counsel of God, for instance. And God would give specific answers. For instance, do I go up before the Philistines? Mm-hmm. He gets his answer. Or do after Ziklag, do I pursue the enemy? Will I overtake them? Yes, pursue them. Yes, you will overtake them. He's getting that information. He's getting enlightenment of what to do. Where does our enlightenment come from? Urim and Thummim, two stones. Where do we get our enlightenment from? Two sources, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I believe this is pointing to those things. And the other thing is we're to be led by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Not by reasoning, not by circumstances. But you get the counsel of the Lord not out of your head, out of your heart. You with me?
Yeah.
And so that's just how I see it. I'll just throw that out to you, okay?
Thank you. That's good. Okay. Look with me, please, at verse 10. You ready for 10?
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead and read. We've got a lot to say about this. So just go ahead and read verse 11, okay?
Well, let me read 10 too. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all the vessels upon the laver and his foot to sanctify them.
Go ahead and keep reading.
Yes, sir. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him.
Okay. Now, if you look at Psalm 133, it talks about, that psalm is talking about this event right here.
Let's do.
Now, he didn't put just a little dab like we do and rub on somebody.
He didn't.
How much did he pour on him? Enough to where he poured it on his head, it ran down his beard, went down to the skirts of his garment. Right? So what's this doing? It's setting him apart. He's designated. Okay? Now, you see, every piece, like for instance, the brass altar, he anointed it. Now, the anointing oil, the special ingredient, you could not duplicate it. If you did, it would cost you your life.
Yeah.
Is pointing to, I believe, the Holy Spirit. You don't duplicate the Holy Spirit. And you don't use the Holy Spirit on flesh. Mm-hmm. You could not put that anointing oil on flesh. And so, to me, that's pointing to the Holy Spirit. Now, the brass altar where the sacrifices made, that had to be set apart. Well, your body needs to be set apart for God. That's where the sacrifices come through, right? Then you see every piece of furniture, he's anointing those different items to set them apart for that specific thing. The candlestick is set apart to give illumination. More evening till morning, that thing's burning. The golden altar of incense is set apart exclusively for incense. That's the only thing that could be put on that altar. You have the table of showbread exclusively for that bread of presence. Okay? The laver exclusively for the priest to wash. It's set apart. That's not just some common washing place, you understand. Everything is set apart. Aaron's set apart. Aaron's sons are set apart. In the old covenant here, it was all done with oil. Now, you cannot understand, and I'm going to emphasize it, it is impossible to understand anointing by word definition. You can't do it. Because if you look at the word definition, whether it's Hebrew or Greek, it means to smear or to rub. So you just smearing or you rubbing. Oh, well, what the world does that mean? Boy, he was really smeared tonight. You know, people talk about he was really anointed. They don't even, no, he was inspired by God, is what they're actually saying, and they don't know that. Now, note this. The anointing was a one-time deal here, and that altar, that person, Aaron, the one time they are set apart for God. So they're anointed till the day they die. Remember David with King Saul? After the Spirit of God left Saul, an evil spirit dominating Saul, David would not lay his hand on Saul. He said, God forbid that I touch his anointed. Even though the Spirit had left him, he was still set apart to represent God. But if the Spirit leaves you, you're going to be a poor representative. And Saul was a poor representative, you understand. And so what we want you to see in this is to get a clear understanding of what anointing does. Aaron is set apart as long as he lives to be high priest. His sons, as long as they live, they're set apart to be priest. It's not every day. But how many of you know that you need to hear from God every day? Well, that's not anointing. That's inspiration. That's God breathing into you. That's God speaking into you. Now, what you want is the person who's been set apart by God to hear God, so he's inspired by God to do what God wants done and not to do his own thing. But you think about this, how many ministers today are actually following the inspiration of God when they deliver their sermon? I get amused. Just in the last week or so, somebody was telling me how somebody practiced preaching. As a matter of fact, I went to school with a guy whose daddy was a minister, and he talked about how he would be in the bathroom in front of the mirror practicing preaching. I'm thinking, man, why are you practicing? What you do is you fellowship with God. You get in the presence of God, and then you let God speak through you instead of you speaking for God. That's more profound than you realize. We think we're to speak for God, and God says, I want to speak through you. So just yield your heart, your mind, your mouth, your body. You yield to me, and don't you predetermine what you're going to say. That doesn't mean don't study. You study. You fill the reservoir up. And if the reservoir is full, then the Spirit of God has something to pour out from you. You with me? And so I want you to understand the difference between being set apart by God and being inspired by God. Now, what sets one apart? Does God play favorites? That'd be foolish. God doesn't play favorites. He says he's no respecter of persons. How many of you know the invitation is to whosoever will? The invitation is out there. Come to me. God so loved the world, not just the church, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But how many of you know that everyone doesn't respond to the Son? And so you have to respond to the invitation. Then when you respond to the invitation, you have to do things God's way. just reading today about the man who was inviting the guests for the wedding, and some of them declined, and then finally, you know, he'd go everywhere, get them in. And then when they do that, he goes in, and there's a man there that doesn't have on the wedding garment. How did you come in here not properly attired? Throw him out of here. You see, a lot of people are trying to get into the presence of God not properly attired. Mm-hmm. No, just as Aaron had to be properly attired, we have to be properly attired too. But we're going to do that with the Word and Spirit of God. You with me? Not just works of flesh and doing things that you think is going to impress people. But we have to do things God's way. Now, many years ago, the Lord really, really opened my eyes to this, and it liberated me as far as ministry, as far as anointing. He said, you're anointed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've been set apart. I set you apart. But you wait for the inspiration to be the mouthpiece for God. You get inspired by God. When people ask you a question on the inside of you, you need to be crying out to God, Lord, I don't know. You know. What do you want to say to this person? And so you let God speak through you. You with me? No, I know it's you talking, but God's speaking through you. And then he said to me, quoting from Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because, and he stopped there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because, here's how you can always know, because I've anointed you. Isn't that what Jesus said in Luke 4:18? Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that only the head is anointed? Is the body of Christ not anointed? The body has the same anointing as the head. Otherwise, it would not have been fair for Jesus to say to continue his ministry. It would not have been fair for him to say, the works that I do, you can do also. That would be an untrue statement if we didn't have the same anointing. But we don't understand that. We think anointing is something that happens when you get chill bumps or somebody just really gets real emotional in their delivery or whatever. No, you get inspired. But if God sets you apart, you're always anointed. Aaron never had to question about whether or not he was high priest. You understand? I don't question about whether or not God called me. Nobody else might, but I don't. Because I know. You understand? And I don't mean that in an egotistical way. If you don't know that, you will not have the confidence that you need to minister for the Lord. But I also know that if I'm going to minister for Him, I need to know how to do it, and I need instruction. Now we're talking about God breathing into you. Now we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us if we've truly been filled with the Spirit of God. And so we don't act presumptuously, but we follow inspiration. Aaron could only go into the presence of God in that Holy of Holies one time a year. God told Moses, you tell him he doesn't come in here all the time. He could one time a year, and he better not come in here without blood. He's got to be properly attired, and he has to have blood to put on the mercy seat. We've got to have the blood of Jesus applied to our hearts. We have to be properly attired with righteousness, understanding Jesus is our righteousness. You have that knowledge? Then you go before him, his way, his time. That's how we properly represent the Lord. But a lot of people try to get ahead of God, or they try to force an issue. And here again, many years ago, the Lord told me, He said, don't try to force ministry. Allow. There's a difference. In other words, don't stop it, but don't you try to make it happen. You listen to me, and when I speak to you, then you be obedient, and you're allowing me to minister to the people. You see that? Are you understanding anything about anointing here? The difference between being anointed and being inspired? Just because you're anointed doesn't mean you're inspired 24/7. I'm anointed at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I promise you, you call me, I may not be real inspired, you understand? And I have been awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning asking for a word from the Lord. And what you want to say is, go to bed. But I'm going to tell you what I said. I said, listen, I don't know who you are, but unless God speaks to me, I don't have a word for you. You follow me? Don't fake it. But be confident in the Lord. And if the Lord gives you something, then give it out. You follow? I know my time's up. I'm going to have to stop here, okay?